Subject matter called How to Achieve Real Happiness. So please clap for him. Also, I would like to welcome Professor here, Krishna Balaram Das, who is Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He is a lawyer with 7 law degrees from the United Kingdom. Please welcome him.
Hare Krishna. And I believe our Krishna Balaram is also the appointed by your president as the chairman of the National Disaster Committee. So you're expecting some disaster? There was a personality who had suffering from leprosy. Now, are you aware of a person who was a leper? What happens to their body? Are you aware? What happens? Becomes deformed. Yes. But this particular leper, he had a wife who was very dedicated and loyal to him. She served him with a great affection and with great dealings, that he must be always happy. But still he was always very morose and unhappy. So the wife asked the husband, "I am giving you so much service. You cannot move. I take you in a basket. I carry you from place to place. Still you are feeling unhappy. Why? What is the cause of your unhappiness? So he explained to his wife that he has a desire to go and enjoy with another lady who is called a high society girl. You know, she is externally a very beautiful, in fact stunning. If someone sees her, he can actually even faint by the stunningness of her beauty. Like that. So he admitted this is the cause. Now here's a man whose body is completely deformed. He cannot even walk. He has to be carried in a basket by his wife. Still he has a desire to enjoy with this other lady. So the wife always wants to bring happiness to the husband, this particular wife. So she went to this other lady who was externally, from the material perspective, stunningly beautiful and attractive, like that. And she explained, I want to make my husband happy. Can you please give your association to him? So this lady said, yes, you bring your husband. So she brought her husband to this particular society lady, like that. And when the leper entered the house of this lady, the lady said, first I have to feed you. Then we can associate with each other. So she gave him very nice dishes of food, but she put everything in two pots. One was a golden pot and the other is an iron pot. Like that. So while he was eating the lipa, he asked the lady, why have you given me food in two different pots, like that? So she replied, because I want to know whether you will feel different taste in the different pots. The one food is coming from the golden pot, and the same preparation is also in an iron pot, like that. So the leper said, no, I don't find any difference in the taste. The soup in the golden pot and the soup in the iron pot, the taste is the same. Like that. So then the lady asked the leper, then why have you come here? Like that. So he couldn't answer why he came. So Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, explains that even if a man is a billionaire, he still suffers from the same typhoid fever as a poor man suffers. See? Disease does not discriminate. That, you know, I am disease personified, I am typhoid fever. So because he is a rich man, I will not attack him. And he is a poor man, I will only attack him. No. Disease has no prejudice. Disease does not make any discrimination. The rich man as well as the poor man will suffer from the same type of diseases. like that. One cannot cure disease like that. So therefore the whole world is going on like that. You know, they are simply trying to taste the same thing in different pots. Self-gratification. Trying to satisfy one's lusty desires. Coming from the mind through the agitation and aggravation of the senses of the body. Like that. But yet, they do not detest this type of sense enjoyment. They are not saying, "No, sir, I have not tasted enough." Like that. So therefore, you will find whether one enjoys, tries to enjoy rather, whether one tries to enjoy as a dog, or whether one tries to enjoy as a pig, whether one tries to enjoy as a demigod, whether one tries to enjoy as an American, whether one tries to enjoy as a Chinaman, whether one tries to enjoy as a male, or whether one tries to enjoy as a female, or an Indian, or an African, like that, the taste is the same. The taste is the same. Just that somebody may have a golden type of body, and another may have a type iron type of body. The taste is the same. And it is boring, and it is pale, and it is stale. There's no difference. Like that. Just like a poor man may buy some bread and some butter and eat on the side of the street. But the rich man is thinking he's eating the same bread and butter in a restaurant. He's thinking the taste is different. Is it different? It's the same. Like that. So therefore, the material problems of material existence, basically birth, old age, disease and death, it cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. It cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. It cannot be counteracted by so-called material opulence. Like that. In many parts of the world, there are countries who are complete from the materialistic point of view with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and are economically developed. Yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they cannot achieve real happiness even if they have progressed materially and economically. Even if they have progressed materially and economically. Like that. I'll give you two examples in my experience in East Africa. Some years ago, I went with devotees to Kampala. We stopped in Kisumu and then we drove over the border to Kampala. We spent about a week there. And it was the same year, sort of maybe the year before, or or so, like that, when the whole world experienced an economic collapse. You know what is an economic collapse? I believe maybe it was around 2008 or so, like that. So some of the leading businessmen came to meet me. Indian businessman and African bodied businessman came to meet me. And one of them said that due to the economic collapse, one man, he went to the river Nile. Nile River? And he jumped into the... And he jumped down over the cliff because the water comes down. Something to that effect. And he took his life away. And he's from Uganda. He can afford 1,000 loaves of bread a day to eat. But he took his life away simply because he lost money in the New York Stock Exchange due to the economic collapse. Like that. So when we were driving back to come to the border, from Kampala to come to the border and into Kenya from Uganda, like that, on the way, I asked the devotees to stop at a village. And when we jumped off, some of our local devotees who speak Swahili and so forth, I told them I want to ask this village people some questions. So the head of the village came. He graciously received us. He took us into his home, like that, and he gave us water to drink. And at the same time, he said, you take as much as you want. Because their opulence, their economy is two things. Their economy is jackfruit and bananas. Uganda. Jackfruit and bananas are valuable whether it's green or whether it's ripe. Like that. They don't need to go to a supermarket or to a store to buy jackfruit and bananas. They just get it off their land and it comes in abundance by the higher arrangement of the Lord. So we thought they would charge us some money because we wanted to get some jackfruit and bananas to bring back with us. And very wonderful choices of jackfruits come from the tree. So we went and picked jackfruits and bananas and filled it in our vehicle. And we were driving back, but the man didn't take any money. He said that if I give, I will get more on the tree. Like that. Then I asked the man through translation, do you know of an economic collapse? He said, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as economic collapse for us. Our wealth is jackfruit and bananas. How can you transform that into Ugandan shillings or Kenyan shillings? You don't transform that. You need shillings to buy jackfruit and bananas from the supermarket or from the fruit vendor. They don't need to trade in shillings because their wealth is on the land. So they are not affected by any inflation and neither they are affected by an economic collapse. Because their trading is not on that basis. And most people in the villages live very happily in Africa in that way, living off the land. So I'll give you another example. We were driving from Nairobi to Mombasa. And when we stopped at one place on the roadside, I said, just stop the vehicle here. And I saw a lady in a drought-stricken area, and some rain came. And on the side of the road, the rain created some puddles of water. Puddles of water. So she brought a container, a plastic 20-liter container, and she took a plastic bottle that's cut into half as a scoop. Okay. So she's scooping up this water from the rain that fell on the side of the road and made a puddle, like a small pond. Okay. She's scooping up that water and putting in a container and taking into the field about a kilometer in. You know, they live in like grass huts and so forth like that. So I said, stop the lady. So the devotee was with me and asked him, ask the lady, what does she use this water for? She said, we use this water for cooking, for drinking, and for bathing. Do you know, if you come from the city of Nairobi and you drink that water, what will happen to you?
You will fall sick.
Your body will be riddled with disease. But she is so immune to the environment. She doesn't even need medicine. She can take contaminated water and still remain free from disease. And she knows nothing about technology to purify water. She knows nothing about economic advancement. And she was very happy. But in the city, we waste water. And we're thinking that the more we become advanced, the more we will be happy. So this idea of imitating the Western world just brings you more greed. More greed. And life becomes complicated. So to become free from actually old age and disease, one has to live off the land in what is called simple living and high thinking. To become free from that. So one question was asked to me in a similar setting in South Africa, where we have a beautiful temple like this in a built-up area near the city. So one man told me that, you're talking about simple living and high thinking, why are you living in such a building? Why are you living in such a building? One man asked me the question. I said, so that you can come and hear from us. You can come and hear from us. If we are in the farm and agriculture, you will not come there. Because you are the city, we came for you to take you out of the city. Like that. See? So the simple living and high thinking will reduce the intensity of old age and disease. You can deal with it more. You can deal with it more. Like that. But the more one engages in the comfort zone of the material world due to material opulence, one will suffer more. One will all suffer in that way. So therefore, we find that the more we go towards so-called economic and development and advancement, and more towards materialism and material wealth, the more we lose the nature of who we really are. And that is the spirit soul in the body. Like that. So we'll discuss that a little bit and then we'll go on to take some questions from you in general. Like that. When we say the spirit soul in the body, like that, if I pinch one of you, will you say that I am feeling pain the African way? In other words, if I pinch you, hey, I'm feeling African pain. We are laughing at our own sort of stupidity. And then he is calling himself Muslim. And the sun is shining on his head. And he is saying, I'm feeling Muslim sunshine. Is that correct? No. Like that. And she is wearing a female body. And she's feeling hungry. And she said, I'm feeling hunger the female way. Doesn't make sense. Right? So hunger, pain, and the heat of the sunshine from the sun has nothing to do with being African, Indian, white, American, Chinese, male, female. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with these temporary designations of the body. The moment you attribute temporary designation to the body, you are living in a very unhappy and distressed state. Because you will always hanker for someone who is having a better temporary body and a better temporary situation materially. So it's not going to solve your problem. Like that. It's not going to really solve the problem. And if you take the same designations of being Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, it doesn't apply. Because there's no such thing as Hindu sunshine or Buddhist hunger or Muslim pain. There's no such thing. These type of feelings of hunger and pain and sunshine, the heat of the sun, comes from someone other than the body. Other than the body. And the prime proof is that when you go to your funeral, what do you see in the coffin? They say at the time of death at a funeral, he's gone, she's left us. Isn't it? But what is in the coffin? Can anyone answer? Yes? The body. Why is the body has no life?
Because it's just a shell.
Why the body has no life? At one time the body had life, but it's no life. It's dead. So what makes the body dead?
If it's gone out, the spirit lives.
The spirit soul, which made the body alive, has gone. So therefore we say, he's gone, she's left us. Now, when you take that body that you were wearing as a dress, and you take it through the crematorium, and it's burnt, what do you get? Ashes. Is this ashes African, Indian, European, Chinese, Japanese?
No.
No, it's nothing. Is this ashes male or female? No. Is this ashes Hindu, Christian, Muslim or Jew? No. But if you reverse the process, if you go backwards, the ashes came from where? From a body in the coffin. And that body may have been an African body. It may be an Indian body. It may be an American body. It may be a male body. It may be a female body. It may be a young body. It may be an old body. But body is body. It has nothing to do with being African or Indian or male or female or Chinese. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin, because any color will become ashes. Do you know ashes as a particular color? It's not that if you had an African body, the ashes would be black. It's not that if you had a European body, the ashes would be brown or white. No, ashes are ashes. Like that. So therefore, economic advancement and material opulence is based on the so-called progress of the material bodies in different designations, which has its temporariness. It has nothing to do with permanency. And people are mad and crazy after that. Like that. They're mad and crazy after that. And that's not happiness. That's simply inviting more and more a misery. Real happiness comes of acting on the platform of who you really are. Not that body in the coffin. You act at the platform of the spirit soul which has left that body, which is eternal. And if you need more information on how to act on the platform of the spirit soul and not on the platform of the misidentification of the material body, we can give you more information on how that comes about. Like that. So therefore, that is temporary, coming to a permanent situation or eternal situation of spiritual life, gradually transitioning from material life. Okay, we'll take questions of any sorts that you may have. There's a microphone somewhere. There's one hand up at the back. Or there's two hands up at the back.
Maharaj.
What's your name?
Robert. Robert.
Robert.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Okay. 3 years ago, I broke with my girlfriend.
Accent and my accent are a little different, so we'll have to hear what you're actually saying. So.
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit slowly to help me? Yes, say, go ahead.
3 years ago, I broke up with my girlfriend.
You broke up with your girlfriend?
Yes. Then I decided to take Krishna consciousness in full swing. So she came around last month. She's pestering me. And I feel as if I'm attached to her. What should I do?
Very good. Practical question.
As now we are speaking, she's texting me. She wants us to converse. So, what should I do?
Okay. Do you need help or can you help somebody else at this point? Answer my question.
Come up again.
Robert,
yes.
Do you need help or are you fully equipped to help somebody else already?
I need help.
You need help?
Yes.
Yes. So if you need help, how can you help this other person?
I'm afraid to tell her that.
Okay. So you tell her in nice words, like that, look, our relationship should be temporarily stopped. Is she here today?
No, but she promised me that she would come on Sunday.
Okay. Now, you should tell her that our help, our relationship should be temporarily stopped. And she'll ask for how long? Say about 6 months. So in the 6 months that you temporarily stop your relationship with her, you take shelter of Govinda Prem Prabhu. You know who he is?
Yes.
Where is he? Yes. So you need some help. That means help means you need to be trained to be internally fixed in spiritual life. If you do not take that help and training, then you'll succumb to the desires of somebody else in the name of needing help from you, but you become more helpless. You get the point? And then if she's coming to the temple on Sunday, she also needs help. So you introduce her to other ladies, yes, who already know how to help her. And tell those ladies to deal with her for the next 6 months. Help her and train her. Like that. Krishna consciousness makes you a better person of character. And when you become a better person of character, then you will do your duties as a husband or a wife or a mother and father in the future in a better way. See? We're not just talking about moral, social and ethical values. We're not talking just about that. We're talking about a real change of the heart where you can help people to come out of the temporariness of the material world into the permanent nature of the spiritual world. Like that. So you need to be trained. You need to be helped. Take that very seriously. And she also needs to be trained and needs to be helped. We want to help everyone. But temporarily do not associate with each other. Srila Prabhupada used to say, man is good, woman is good, together bad. So we have to train a man to be good and train a woman to be good in spiritual life. When they come together, they'll know their priorities of what to give to their children. Like that. You understand?
Yes.
And the greatest sin is when a man is unscrupulous and of bad character. This is the greatest sin. Who makes a woman a single mother? A man of bad character. Who makes a woman a prostitute? A man of bad character. Who makes a woman kill the baby in the womb? A man of bad character, because he doesn't take the responsibility of being a proper father. So therefore you can only help this so-called girlfriend when you become a man of character. Otherwise, you're going to go on exploiting and abusing her like your man exploited and abused other women and girls. And nowadays, people have no hearts. They don't have hearts, they have rocks or stones in their bodies. It's hard. They don't have any feelings. They can just kill children in the womb. They can just leave a woman pregnant to fend for herself. Like that. This is the greatest sin. It is the greatest form of violence. Violence in war and killing people like happened years recently. Today some people got shot. Right? Yeah. But the greatest violence is to kill a person by not killing them to suffer more. You understand that? It's the greatest violence. And the greatest violence is given and done to women and children. And all these men of low class, bad character are responsible for this, and they're going to suffer like anything. Like that. So don't exploit and abuse. It's not only a lesson for Robert, it's a lesson for all of us. So become a man of character. Not just based on moral, social, and ethical values. More than that. Is that okay, Robert? I may have been strong, but strong medicine is required. There was another hand up on this side.
I was asking that you say.
What's your name?
I'm Daniel. Daniel.
Daniel, okay.
And I was asking, you said there before that the material happiness that we are looking for will just cause us pain and suffering. So how will we attain the real happiness? How can we attain the real happiness?
How can we attain
the real happiness?
Real happiness. Okay. So Daniel, keep the microphone. What is your present way of looking for happiness, you tell me?
Happiness?
Yes.
My present way is just, I think if I have money and education, I'll be happy.
If you have money and?
Education.
Education, you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Yes. In other words, you want education to get more money.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Isn't it? Like that. We say that one should be educated. Like that. One should be educated. Education is very important for anyone. Like that. But we see that material education is making people what? Makes them
suffer.
In what way?
Doing bad things. As in, your mind will be eroded, so you will start doing bad things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our founder is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Says that material education makes you a polished animal. Polished animal. See? Now, if you have animals who are not polished, but material education makes you earn money to become a polished animal. Like that. So they asked him why. He said, well, animal life means eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's animal life. eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Right. Now the animals themselves, they don't need to build a high-rise building. The animals themselves, they don't need to work. There's no unemployment in the animal kingdom. And the animals themselves, they don't need to pay taxes. And the animals themselves, interestingly enough, they don't need to do agriculture to get the food. It is already supplied. See? But if education means that you simply earn money for just eating, sleeping, mating and defending in different ways, I'm just giving the principles, the practicalities may vary from person to person. If you're just absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating and defending, your name, any activity in human life that is not spiritual, you can categorize it into these four: eating, sleeping, mating or defending. But the animals do a better job than us. Just that we are called polished animals. So material education just does that. See? So therefore, in conjunction with material education, we have to receive spiritual education. And then you'll strike a balance. And the balance will be that you are satisfied with basic food, clothing and shelter. But material education does not make you satisfied with basic food, clothing and shelter, because you have to earn more money to be better than the other person. Material education breeds envy. Why the other person has more than me? Breeds envy. But spiritual education breeds simplicity. Spiritual education breeds simplicity. So both have to be there. One has to survive to have basic food, clothing and shelter. That should be there. But if you over-accumulate more than you need, then it breeds envy over this. And envy leads to unnecessary competition. Not just from your neighbor to you, but between communities, between tribes, between states, between countries, and between universes. You may not know that, but we know. Even interplanetary systems and universes. It breeds envy, which leads to unhealthy competition. So therefore, if your goal is to earn sufficiently for basic food, clothing and shelter, that's fine. But if it is more than that, then you will lose the simplicity of not receiving spiritual education. Like that. The more you have that you do not need, the more hard you have to work to just protect it, not even enjoy it. Why you have to protect it? Because you have more than you need, and the other person is saying, why you have more than you need? I'm going to steal it from you. So you have to protect it. Right. And that's called economic advancement, or advancement in material civilization. So the goal should be very simple. That when you come to spiritual life, and particularly Krishna consciousness that we are discussing, we will teach you how to have the basic needs of life, basic food, clothing and shelter, and the rest of the time is to spend on the cultivation of spiritual life through spiritual education and practice. You have that balance, you'll be perfectly happy. You won't envy others. Rather, you'll feel sorry for them. This man is more and he's suffering more. You won't say, this man is more, let me steal from him. You feel sorry for him, you have compassion. Then you preach to him, you are suffering because of over-accumulation. So therefore, besides material education, or having basic food, clothing and shelter, one must embrace spiritual education. Is that all right? Okay. What time do we stop? About now.
I have three questions, but it all depends on how you answer the first question. My first question is...
It all depends on...
Yes.
It all depends on how you ask your question.
Okay. My first
question... Just ask the first question.
My first question is, can you fake happiness?
Huh?
Can you fake happiness?
Can you fake...
happiness.
Can you fake happiness?
Fake.
Yeah. Fake, yes. Everyone is faking it in the material world. There's no exception to the rule.
Okay, now...
Let me give you an example. Everyone in the material world puts a show, everything is going all right. Rascals. They are fools. But nobody knows that when you are sitting in your room alone, you are lonely. But you go out and you put on a show, I'm a people's person. But nobody knows that you're feeling empty. And how do you feel that void or emptiness? You take liquor, you take drugs, you know, you see movies, you read the newspaper, you try to fill that. But the moment you stop those material activities and you take two steps back in your consciousness and you sit back and you be thoughtful, yes, I am suffering. So everyone's putting a show. What's your next question?
Okay, so that means that...
What's your name?
Ace.
Ace.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that means that everybody is living in, what can we say, material opulence, right?
Nobody lives in opulence materially. They put on a show.
They put on a show.
Yes, what show are they putting on? If you have a swimming pool in your home, how often do you swim in it?
Rarely.
Yeah, the others come to enjoy your swimming pool and you pay the bill to clean it. If you become the president of the country and you live in the president's house, how many beds can you sleep in? Who's enjoying? Your wife and your children and grandchildren. You are suffering. The more you're materially opulent, the more others enjoy your opulence. That's tricked. You cheated. This is the cheating propensity of the material energy. You can never win.
So, we just live with it.
You just?
Live with it.
Live?
Live with it. Like, you know what they say in Nike? Just do it. Like, just live. Live your life. Don't worry about what the person on your left is thinking or on the right.
No, you have to not leave. You have to take responsibility.
Yeah, but leaving is practically... When you say you live a life, the life is not yours. What I believe is, when you're given that life, you're given that life to some other people. So when you're thinking about leaving, you live according to the society, the community.
That's a conformist. We are not conformists. We follow the law. That's fine. But if you follow the law in any country, something wrong with you.
Okay. That's
if you break the law, that means you're following the law.
Yep.
So therefore it is important to note the laws of God. The laws of God. There is no justice system in any country, even developed countries. If you kill one man, you put in jail. But if you kill many people in the name of saving the country, you are a hero. You're given a medal. You understand the point?
Yes.
So therefore it is important to follow the laws of God. So when we understand what is the laws of God and we are willing to follow it, then we come into a similar situation with others who are following, and that is called a proper association. But are you willing to surrender to be trained? Or you come with your own baggage on your own terms, not on the terms of the laws of God. See? So this is the most important. So if you want to know more of the process of following the laws of God, not in a cheating way, but in a genuine way that transforms you genuinely. And we give you an example. I'll give you an example like that. The process of Krishna consciousness, the spiritual life that we follow, you can judge by the result of what you follow. And an example is that if you were smoking cigarettes before, you will naturally lose that taste for smoking cigarettes because you'll get a higher taste in spiritual activities that we follow. And even if you go out on the street, even after some months, and you see somebody smoking cigarettes, and you see an advertisement for cigarettes, you will not be affected and alert by it. You'll be cleansed of material desire, you'll be cleansed of material sense gratification, and you will only be situated in spiritual activities with spiritual desires. Right? And that is the effect of following the process of proper spiritual life, in that sense. But are we willing? Are we willing to do that? So therefore it requires to be under the shelter and guidance of those who are already situated in that consciousness or state. Right. Therefore one should be under shelter, and being sheltered, one will purify one's heart and consciousness. And in that way one can give shelter to others. Is that all right? Okay, we'll conclude for now. And there's going to be some announcements made by you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So we would like to thank Swamiji. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to chant one time the Hare Krishna mantra very loudly for him. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! Okay, we thank all of you for coming. Otherwise, we meet on Saturday. Same time? Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
You can now proceed, then there's going to be dinner for all of us. Thank you for coming.
I think I jolted them a little bit.